This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Over the weekend, President Joe Biden decided not to run for a second term and nominated Vice President Kamala Harris. But what happens next?
The delegates from West Virginia had pledged for President Biden. However, now that he has removed himself as candidate, those delegates are now released, as they are throughout the nation.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. An expert witness testified that Appalachian Power has been operating its coal plants at a loss. Curtis Tate has more.
Over a 12-month period in 2023 and 2024, Appalachian Power lost $87 million running its Amos, Mountaineer, and Mitchell plants, according to written testimony filed to the West Virginia Public Service Commission. Chelsea Hodeling, an energy consultant working on behalf of Citizen Action Group, Solar United Neighbors, and Energy Efficient West Virginia, wrote that the company did this to burn off an excess supply of coal. Appalachian Power is seeking a fuel cost recovery from the PSC that would add roughly $2 a month to the average electricity customer's bill. It's not clear whether the loss at the three power plants is part of the proposed increase. An evidentiary hearing will be held at the PSC headquarters in Charleston on August 12th. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Curtis Tate in Charleston.
One of the governor's cabinet secretaries is leaving. Chris Schultz has more.
Mark Scott, Cabinet Secretary of the West Virginia Department of Administration, will resign at the end of this month. The Office of Governor Jim Justice confirmed in an email to West Virginia Public Broadcasting that they had received Scott's letter of resignation, which is effective next Wednesday, July 31st. The email also stated Scott is currently on a previously scheduled vacation and unavailable for comment. Scott's office has come under scrutiny in recent weeks after a likeness of the governor's dog, Baby Dog, was included in a historical mural in the Capitol building, as well as approval of uncompetitive contracts for the mural's completion. Justice appointed Scott to the position in 2021 after Alan McVeigh was appointed as West Virginia Insurance Commissioner. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
A coal miner was killed on the job in Raleigh County. Governor Jim Justice announced the death of 33-year-old Ashley Coger on Tuesday from injuries last week at the Wyco service mine. State and federal agencies are investigating her death. The Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration reported another mine fatality in Wyoming County on July 12th, but no further details are available. As of Tuesday, MSHA had yet to publish a notification of Coger's death. Nearly 95% of prisoners in America will be released back into the free world. Some struggle with that re-entry. That's the focus of the latest episode of Us and Them, which recently received a first place documentary award from the Public Media Journalists Association. Host Trey Kay speaks with a range of people on the challenges of re-entry. Here's an excerpt as Kay talks with Thomas Murphy, known as Tom Tom, about what happened after his release.
So Tom Tom takes his $35 and goes to a halfway house. He stays there for 6 months, as long as he can pay rent. While he's there, he gets a driver's license. He's able to finance a vehicle, but he can't pay rent. So he's asked to leave. He packs up all of his things and stays on his brother's couch temporarily.
I went and filed application. You got to pay for them fees, them application. So I asked one lady, how far do you go back? She said indefinitely. So I said, you a church going woman? She said, yeah. I said, how did you get your job? She thought I was being smaller. I said, last time I know, couldn't nobody cast a stone. I had to get my brother, with his good credit, his good life that he built, to co-sign for me, to give me a place.
Tom Tom's working, setting up theater lights. He's living in the apartment he got, thanks to his brother. Then one day, he's on his way to pick up his paycheck. He's waiting at a stoplight, and he's hit by another car.
T-bone in the side. I don't know. It's like you sitting here. The seatbelt choked me. Glasses way over there. 61 years old. My back is killing me. I already hurting from prison. Car's gone. I can't work.
He goes to physical therapy and applies for unemployment, which he still hasn't received. He stays in good communication with his apartment manager every week. He says the woman there is kind, and he finds some odd jobs just to get by and to afford another car.
Because, again, I'm determined. I know we got to get money. And I told the lady at the office, pretty ma'am, I got you. I know, but I've been in a wreck. And I told her, ma'am, now I am 60% ready to, I can go back to work. They got it in my files. She looked me in the eye and all, yeah. I go to work that Tuesday. I get off of work, hard work.
But at that point, he was 3 months behind in rent. So he was evicted. All his possessions were put in the dumpster.
All my property is gone. I had to sit there all night cold with a long cord for my phone charger to protect my bed. 2 o'clock, people pulled up, try to get it. 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, they pulled up in a red truck. I said, leave my bed alone. So in the morning, I get a U-Haul, take my bed, get my blood pressure medicine out of the house. The sheriff came out and opened and gave my medicine.
So, 4 years after his release from prison, Tom is starting over, trying to find housing with a felony record. He's bouncing around from pay-by-the-week hotels to his brother's couch and hanging on to the resources he does have.
I talked to a lot of spiritual people at the night. I prayed, I cried. I ain't got no more damn tears. I done cried enough. God bless me. My thrill and my journey is to help out on this planet.
That excerpt is from our award-winning Us and Them podcast, Reentry. To hear the entire program, tune in tonight to WVPB at 8 p.m. It will air again Saturday, July 27th at 3 p.m. Us and Them is supported by the West Virginia Humanities Council, the CRC Foundation, and the Just Trust. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Variable cloudiness today, scattered rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 70s and 80s. Tonight, there's a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms, lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, partly sunny, highs in the 80s. Support for WVPB is provided by Bowles Rice, a full-service law firm celebrating 100 years of contributing to the success of our clients and the vitality of our communities through advocacy, counsel, leadership, and service. There's been a lot of political drama in recent days. It's been more than 50 years since a sitting president chose not to run for re-election. And then what happens? News director Eric Douglas spoke with Marshall Associate Professor of Political Science, Mary Beth Beller, to get her take on the current situation.
Over the weekend, President Joe Biden stepped aside and nominated his Vice President Kamala Harris to take his place. In the grander scheme of things, what happens next?
Well, what happens is that President Biden has released his delegates. Through the primary process, all states select their delegates that are going to go to the Democratic and Republican conventions. those delegates generally pledge to vote for a certain candidate. The delegates from West Virginia had pledged for President Biden. However, now that he has removed himself as candidate, those delegates are now released, as they are throughout the nation. And so the delegates are then free to vote for whichever candidate they choose to nominate at the convention.
We don't vote on every individual law, but we vote for people who represent us and to do what we hope they would do.
Right.
But so this is effectively the same thing. This is, we didn't vote. Technically, we didn't vote for Joe Biden. We voted for state delegates who we believe or who have agreed to follow our wishes and vote for that person at the convention.
Yes and no. Actually, the state parties, sometimes through the primary process, often through state conventions, will select the delegates to that convention. So West Virginia's delegates were selected among party leaders and also people at the convention to then cast their ballot to nominate a president. Where you and I as citizens come in is that we do elect many of those Democratic office holders who are going to be convention delegates. But then once the party selects at the convention its nominee, then it comes back to the individuals to cast their ballot. And our Electoral College members then have pledged to vote in a way that the majority of the citizens from their state have voted.
It seems like there's a lot of failure points in that system.
Well, the idea was, honestly, from the founders, that citizens might not make the best decisions in directly selecting a president, but that we should vote for electors to represent us, and that those electors would then be charged for really studying the matter and selecting the best person.
We're literally one step removed through the nomination process, through the Electoral College. We're one step removed from directly deciding anything.
Yeah, that is correct. Yes.
Fair enough. So we've seen, just to follow on this, we've seen that at least the I don't know if it's the National Party or Vice President Harris's campaign now has said that they have secured enough of the, 4,700 roughly delegates in the Democratic Party to secure the nomination in the convention in a couple weeks.
Yeah, there are just under 4,000 pledged delegates, and a nominee needs the majority of those pledged delegate votes. So she needs just under 2,000, and she has those. As of, I think, yesterday, all 25 West Virginia Democratic delegates to the convention pledged their support for Harris.
So what happens moving forward?
Moving forward, the Democratic convention will take place, and there are a series of votes. We call them ballots. On the first ballot, the pledged delegates will vote, and if a majority of them agree to a nominee, then that person will officially become the nominee for the party. If nobody gets a majority of the vote, then the vote goes to what we call a second ballot. On the second ballot, there's a second group of delegates that are called superdelegates. These people only get to vote on the second ballot. Superdelegates are made up of national party leaders, officials who have been elected from their parties. So we have senators, governors, party leaders. Many people are those superdelegates. There are 747 of them nationally. They only get to vote on the second ballot.
That was Associate Professor of Political Science Mary Beth Beller speaking with Eric Douglas about the process toward naming a new candidate for president for the Democratic Party. For a longer version of this interview, visit our website at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. This is WVPB Charleston, WVBY Beckley, WVBL Bluefield, WVPW Buchanan, WVWV Huntington, WVEP Martinsburg, WVKM Matewan, WVPM Morgantown, WVPG Parkersburg, WVDS Petersburg, WVWS Webster Springs, WVNP Wheeling, and you can find us online at wvpublic.org.